Carol, good morning. You are not the New York City mama.
No, I'm not New York City mama Twitter. I don't Twitter. I don't Facebook, but I do email. Anyways, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, doing good. Boy, this is a busy time of year with all the election stuff going on. And on the flip side of that, you have a lot of companies and entities and leaders trying to figure out how to create more jobs.
Well, before we start talking about jobs in your column in yesterday's Detroit Free Press, I wanted to just get your take on a couple of things. Will it hurt Rick Snyder that he's only debating Virge Monero one time?
Well, he's up, what, 20, 30 points on the poll, and at this stage, various polls, depending on who you're talking about. Personally, I think those of us in the media would like to see more debates because I think a lot of people don't know as much about Rick Snyder or even Virge Bernero and would give people an opportunity to hear more directly from them. But on the flip side, I know that from his standpoint of being up so much, that anytime you do a debate, there's always a risk something could happen or come out or whatever. So I understand that. But from my own personal standpoint, I would like to see more debates. I know at the start they said they were going to do three. And whether you get caught in the crosshairs of who said what about the debate and who agreed to what, I know the Bernero camp wanted 8 or 12 or something like that. So I'm still hoping there might be a chance to see at least one or two other ones.
Carol, you talk with business leaders and politicians every week. What's their take on that? Do they need to know more about these two candidates? Do they want to see more? Or are they like the vocal, the voters who just are more worried about the economy and jobs?
No, I think a lot of people would like to hear more from these two candidates because you don't hear as much about them at this stage. It seems like there's more debate going on about whether to have debates, how many, having one, having three, as opposed to some of the issues here. And I know there's a lot of television commercials which are just starting up, trying to, you know, the two candidates shooting at each other as far as where they stand on issues, pro-choice, pro-life, these kinds of things. But I don't know. It just seems if you're going to be running for public office that you ought to be part of the public conversation and say where you stand on some things. So, again, I will leave it to all their strategists to figure out why they should or shouldn't. But, again, I just think it's always beneficial to have debates, to have conversations, and a chance where people can hear the two candidates together talking about things. I know Rick Snyder's had 60 or whatever town halls around the state, which serves a purpose for him, certainly, and gets his point out there. But I think people want to see the two of them together. And so, again,
Carol, you can have them on Michigan Matters for a debate.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I know. Again, they have their strategy. They're spending a lot of money in trying to get their messages out. And whether they do television shows or debates or blogging or whatever they end up doing here, it'll be interesting to see how this all shakes out. And is there more public clamoring for debates and hearing more directly from them? I think still, even though those of us in the media are really focused like a laser beam on the election, that there's still people out there who are just, oh, yeah, they know an election's coming up here and won't pay attention until the last few weeks, which we're now starting into.
Carol writes a column for the Detroit Free Press. Yesterday's column has a headline that reads, "Key Business Leaders Tackle and Embrace Change." And the common denominator I find from the business leaders that I interview, Carol, is that no matter the circumstance, they're upbeat and they charge in with an enthusiastic manner. Talk about the meeting that you hosted on your program.
Well, it was the Inforum, which is the former Women's Economic Club, had their start of their season going on. They're like the Economic Club of Lansing and Detroit, where they had a series of meetings. Anyways, they invited these four leaders who are running organizations in the throes of massive change to talk about that. And what I was rather astounded by is that the four women, Carol Goss from Skillman, Susie Elwood from the Detroit Media Partnership, which runs the News and Free Press business side, Mary Zuckerman of Detroit Medical Center, and Barbara McQuaid, who is the U.S. District Attorney running the 36 counties in southeast Michigan. The number one thing that they all talked about was how they all had an aha moment where something massive happened that told them they had to change to survive. If they didn't change, they would be out of business, wasting their money, not being effective as they could be. And so in doing that, the number one thing they all mentioned was the need to communicate what you're doing internally, externally, with your staff, with your board, with your constituents. And it was riveting to me because we know we're all involved in change. Every single person listening here is probably undergoing some massive change, whether in their personal life or their careers or watching their communities change. But how to do it and taking a moment to talk to each other, there were over 500 people there at this to listen to this. And these four women leaders talked about it, and it was really really interesting.
Well, in reading your column, what I thought was also interesting was the fact that these women are just spending so much of their time analyzing and really self-evaluating what they do and what their companies do. And the bottom line and all that other stuff, we will follow. But how you're doing business, why you're doing business, who you have working for you is a big deal.
Well, and the other thing, too, they all spoke of, for example, Carol Goss from Skillman, which I had some people call me up who were astounded when they read the column that she taught with what she said, and that is Skillman, which is the education foundation, had spent $100 million in Detroit during the 1990s. This is before she came on board, so she had nothing to do with this. I tried to help things in Detroit, and we know DPS has the worst test scores in the country, the lowest graduation rates, the biggest problems, so the money, though, being spent wasn't making a difference. So they have adjusted. Skillman has adjusted what they're doing. So it's about the classroom, not as much about maintaining DPS, because we know DPS has got its huge problems. And Robert Bob, who's running it, is doing yeoman's job trying to turn that ship around. But again, all of the women, even Susie Elwood from Detroit newspapers, talking about the News and Free Press, the massive digital changes, other things, technology, which is impacting what's going on as far as delivery of news and information. It's a tsunami that's taking place in the media business.
You recently had Alfred Taubman on, the mega billionaire who has been involved with just building his fortune with malls. And he is a guy who puts a lot back into philanthropy, and he's very involved with stem cell as an advocate.
Well, in fact, Al Taubman, he was on Michigan Matters on Saturday and talked about the Stem Cell Summit, which is coming up in Detroit next weekend on the 4th to the 6th. Al put up, I think it was $7 million of his own money to get Proposal 2 on the ballot for Michigan voters last go-round, and it passed, and it basically loosened restrictions on this whole thing of stem cell research. But Al Taubman, whether you agree with the use of embryonic stem cells or not, nothing else puts his money where his mouth is on things. He believes medical research can help create jobs in the state and thinks it can help, more importantly, help find cures for diseases, which I have written about this, and I'll tell you, Tony, anytime I write about it or talk about it on the show, I'm inundated with people calling me and sending me emails about it, whether or not there should be a use of embryonic stem cells because there's embryonic and adult cells. I also had on the same show with Al Taubman, Bernie Siegel, who is the person behind this upcoming World Stem Cell Summit, who says in the medical community they just call it stem cell research. They don't differentiate. But I can tell from my emails and readers and viewers that's not necessarily true, because people feel the right to life advocates don't want embryonic stem cells being used. So there'll be a lot more conversation about that coming up here.
And what else are you going to be working on this week, Carol?
Just trying to keep up with all these things going on in the election. I know, with so many different positions up for grabs in this election coming up here, that all the candidates are reaching out and trying to get traction. And isn't it ironic that the big race everyone wants to hear the most about, they're not debating? And there's something ironic about this, Tony, isn't there?
Yeah, you know what else? There's some nasty races going on. The race for the attorney general has gotten a little testy.
No doubt about that. Well, when you look at it, what do you hear? I mean, you're talking to viewers from around the state all day long here with it. What do you think they care about, besides finding jobs, of course, and getting jobs? What races, besides the governor, do you think they're paying attention to?
Well, I don't think they're really concerned about much beyond jobs and the economy. They want those two things to improve, and all the business people that we talk to want this state to be more business-friendly, not only more like Texas and North Carolina, but Indiana has really been doing a lot to generate business with the current businesses that they have and to attract new business.
Well, and the other thing they're doing, particularly Ohio is in here, like sort of walking around and trying to grab jobs and companies to come their way. I have been to more conferences in Michigan where I'm looking, and here's someone from Ohio, their economic development top person or persons showing up at events, and they're all over things like the auto show, which will be coming up, which we'll be talking about, I'm sure. It's interesting because the battleground is not just the state next door, it's the whole world. So with India and Russia and China and Korea and other companies and countries looking for places to set up dual operations in various places, I think we'll be hearing a lot more about that.
And Carol, from the people that we've talked to over the last year or so, what we're learning is that the policies that are in place for business have kind of occurred over a long period of time, and now they have put Michigan at the bottom end of the best places to do business. It's one of the worst places to do business because of the tax structure and the rules and regulations. But the thing I find interesting is that the state lawmakers really don't look at this at more of a competitive angle, talking about piggybacking on what you just said. Ohio, Wisconsin, Indiana, these people are aggressively and competitively seeking business from our state.
Well, the problem going on in Michigan is the massive need to reorganize. The state was set up for many more millions of people in operations than we have currently. And things like discussion about the Michigan business tax, which is a lightning rod of a conversation. Everyone knows that our tax structure is cumbersome, that it needs to be pared back. But if you do that and you cut the taxes, then you still have to maintain a balanced budget. The state needs to just readjust, and I know that both Rick Snyder and Virg Bonero, bringing this whole conversation full circle, have talked about the need to change some of the tax structures here, make it less cumbersome, make it less overwhelming, and be more competitive, because Michigan really is behind the charge on so much of this. I know, depending on whichever survey you're looking at of attractive states to do business, one thing is positive. Michigan's nowhere near the top. It's always at the bottom or near the bottom.
You're listening to the Tony Connolly Morning Show on 1320 WILS. We're talking with Carol Kane, who is the host of Michigan Matters. You can catch that in Detroit on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on WWJ-TV in Detroit. Carol, before I let you go, I'm a little surprised. Of all the big business leaders that you get and politicians, it's surprising that Virg and Rick haven't yet showed up on your show. And knowing you, I know you invited them. I'm surprised they don't take the opportunity to be able to address the Detroit market.
Well, I'll tell you, I know both of them are reaching out to Detroit, trying to, but they've got the entire state to work about here. I did have both of them, as well as all other five of the gubernatorial candidates in the primary. So there's still another month to go here, and I know they're figuring out what they're going to be doing, so I haven't given up the ghost on having them on the show.
All right. All you have to do is go to Google and Google Carol Kane, or go to freep.com and you can get her columns, Michigan Matters, 11 a.m. every Saturday in Detroit on WWJ-TV. As always, Carol, thank you so much.
Take care, Tony.